Okay, so this morning we started to talk about how there are demonic kings in the realm on assignment against God's people. They've always been on assignment against us. They always will be until Jesus comes and we go with him. Amen? And their assignments vary. They can come and they can take dominion over your mind, over your physical body, over your marriage, over your household, over your children. They can curse every enterprise that you set your hand to. They can curse your kneading basket. They can curse the fields that you work in. They can touch every area of your life. And before we continue to go on and learn more about these demonic kings, we have to establish something very important. We have to establish who is the ultimate authority over every king in the realm. And that is Jesus Christ. Because you see, he is King of Kings. King of Kings. Amen? Throughout this conference, I'm going to bring up Jesus over and over because you see, he's the key. He is the key for you having dominion over all of these kings and thus over every area of your life where you're being attacked and assailed. You're going to understand something. You cannot become a king killer unless you first become more acquainted with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. When you walk out of this conference today, do not start rebuking demonic kings. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You must first prepare yourself. You must first become qualified. You must first become empowered with a supernatural power way beyond anything you could ever muster up on your own. You must first become a carrier. You must first be carrying a seed and have that seed grow to maturity and give birth to a whole new level of Jesus. Amen? As I begin this session, I want to establish Jesus' kingship so that you will indeed know that he is King of Kings. And then I'm going to show you through Scripture that if you become a literal carrier of his presence, you will have dominion over every demonic king that's over all the areas of your life because you will be carrying the King of Kings. In Revelations 19, it says this about Jesus, that out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, here is the scripture says that Jesus will rule over the nations with an iron scepter. Do you understand what an iron scepter is? The scepter is the symbol of kingly authority, of royal power. And iron is an unbreakable metal. You see, Jesus' scepter is unbreakable. Nothing can break his rule of power. Nothing. Nothing in the natural, nothing in the supernatural. And it says that he uses that unbreakable scepter, the iron scepter, to rule over the nations. I want to ask you a question. Who do you think Satan has assigned to rule over the nations? Kings. Demonic kings and their kingdoms have been strategically placed over every area of every nation. And in order for us to take dominion over the nations, we must first understand how to remove the power and the rule of these demonic kings. And we can only do it when we're backed by the King of Kings. You know, you want to take dominion in your home, right? Over your own bodies, right? But then once you carve out a realm of dominion for that, then you want to take dominion over your neighborhood, right? And then your city, and then your region, and then your state, and then your country, and then your nation, eh? Everybody's always saying, I'm going to be a world changer. I'm going to be a nation fixer. I'm going to have dominion over the nations. Guess what? You can only have dominion over the nations if you are backed by the king who holds the iron scepter that strikes down all the other powers and dominions, kings and kingships that are over those nations. Amen? Jesus's being King of Kings is such a part of his character and his nature. It's literally inscribed on his body. It says in that scripture that it's written on his thigh, right? Do you know what the word inscribe means? It means to carve or engrave. Once you engrave something, it is permanent. Do you understand what that means? You see, Jesus has been marked with a title from heaven. He has been marked with a title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and nothing can change it. It cannot be erased. It cannot be removed. It cannot be eliminated. It cannot be forgotten. It cannot be wiped out. It cannot be altered in any sense. It's a fact. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is so many things to us. We have to understand, we must begin to meditate. What does the Word of God say about Jesus? That he, over here, it says he's the root of David. And then over there, it says he's the rose of Sharon. And then over there, it says that he's the stone which the builders rejected, that he's the chief cornerstone. And then up on this page, it says that he is the King of Glory, the Ancient of Days. And then over on this page, he says that he's the merciful and forgiving and filled with grace and the high priest, and he is the Passover lamb, and he is the mighty one, and he is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and he's the imperfect atoning sacrifice. He's our redemption. He's our reconciliation. He is our shepherd. He is our healer. You understand, when Jesus was in heaven, that there was no other being in heaven, no other being in heaven that was worthy to open the scroll. Not even Father God. Father God said a decree that only Jesus, out of every being in heaven, was worthy to open the scroll. Is he worthy of our attention right now? Because you see, he is the radiance of God's glory. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of the Father. He is the light of the world. He is the day star. He is the bright and morning star. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. He is the vine. He is the wellspring of life. He is the fountain of living water. How many of us can really say that we've experienced all those names in their fullness about Jesus? That we can say, I really have encountered him as the wellspring of life. I really have encountered Jesus as the day star. I really have encountered Jesus as my healer. We need to say that we've pressed into so much of Jesus that we've experienced all of those things in their fullness, that we can say, I've experienced him as all those things and more. And when you can say that, then guess what? You're getting close. But you'll never be all the way there, because the mystery of Christ is so great. We will never be able to touch all of him until he comes and makes himself known to us. Amen? Listen, the scripture says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why is that so important? What's another reason why? Because you're fighting demonic kings, and you cannot dethrone a king unless you're first backed by a king that is higher than the one you're trying to take off the throne. Jesus is that king. He is higher than all the rest. There is none that is higher than him. They are all lower. Now listen, one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth as a king was so that you would have dominion over other kings. That's one of the very reasons why he came here to earth. I want you to listen to proof. Listen. This is Jesus talking to Pontius Pilate in John 18, right before his crucifixion, and he says this: My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. And Pilate says, You are a king then. And Jesus answered this, You are right in saying I am a king. Listen, in fact, it was for this reason I was born. And it is for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Here, Jesus is testifying to the absolute truth, and he's saying that anyone on the side of absolute truth is going to listen to him. And what did he say? He said, he is a king with a kingdom underneath him. And then he says this astounding fact. In fact, it is for this reason I was born and came here to earth. Do you understand that? Long ago, when the worlds were created, Jesus was with the Father God, and they all knew that what would happen in the garden. They all knew that the fall would come. They all knew Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all knew that God's people would be making war against Satan and his kings and the kingdoms underneath them. And Jesus knew that in order for God's people to prevail over all of the demonic kings and kingdoms that would be coming to make war against us, we would have to have a backing from a king that was higher than them all. Amen. That's why Jesus said, it was for this reason I was born. Being a king, it was for this reason, because my people needed me to come as a king. I had to come as a king for my people. Otherwise, they would never be able to slay the dragon. They would never be able to have dominion over these kings who have their minds in control, who are making their physical bodies sick. Do you understand that? It was for that reason Jesus came as a king, for you to demolish demonic kings in your life. Hallelujah. You want to get demonic kings and have a victory over them? You've got to carry more of Jesus. You've got to carry more of Jesus. What does that mean? Let me tell you a story and the powerful revelation that came out of it. We were having a conference and we were teaching on a demonic king who's over curses. We're going to be teaching on him tomorrow in this conference. And during this meeting, one of our volunteers had an encounter in the very first session. As the worship began, all of a sudden, she got thrown to the floor and she was pinned down in the state of total homage. She couldn't move. All she could do was look up out from her under her arm to see what was going on. And as she did, she saw Jesus being carried into the meeting in a sedan chair. You know what those are? Those are the chairs that servants would carry royalty around on, right? She saw Jesus being carried into the meeting by these servants on the sedan chair. Now, later on, signs and wonders broke out in that meeting. And in the next session, I had the people stand up who got touched, healed, delivered, or saved in the first session, and over 80% of the people in the meeting stood up. I'll tell you exactly why. We were teaching on a demonic king, right? That's able to afflict your body, your mind, all different parts of your life. And guess who walked in the room? Jesus, the King of Kings. And so that king that was on those people's bodies and their minds and their finances and every part of their life, that king over curses, had to bow the knee to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He didn't bow the knee because Katie Souza was up in front. Did you hear me? He bowed the knee because Jesus came in the room. Hallelujah. Jesus. Now I remember that intercessor called me up and said, the Lord has told me that that visitation is going to become a ring of revelation to you. And it did. The Lord began to put that vision in my mind over and over again. He just replayed it in my mind over and over again. I couldn't get it out of my head. And he finally spoke to me and he said this. He says, every one of my children need to become like the servants who carried in the sedan chair into the meeting. They need to become a literal carrier of the presence of my son. Amen. So I began to do a little research on the history of the sedan chair. And it says that the men who carried it were known as the chairmen. On one of the websites I read, it said that the most efficient way for the chairmen to carry the load of the chair was for them to transfer the load out of their hands, down here, up onto their shoulders, and then it would become easy for them to walk the chair around. And they did that through a use of a device called a yoke. A yoke. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. This is what happens when we decide we're going to carry around the presence of Jesus. We take the burden of everything we're trying to accomplish, including warfare, out of our hands, where we're loaded down and carrying it around like this, and it's getting heavier and harder and worse and more exhausting, and we take it and we put it up in Jesus' yoke, and bam, there it is. And now we get our hands free, and we can just go travel along here, and everything's so much easier, and Jesus is riding with us because we're carrying his presence, and he's doing all the work. You see, you're going to start fighting demonic kings and their kingdoms. And before, you'd be doing this, Jesus, I'm going to cheat. Right? Stop it. We don't want to do that anymore. When we're doing that, we're warring out of our own hands. We're carrying the load like this. It's true. You're carrying it in your own hands. You're warring in your own strength. But something happens when you're able to supernaturally birth more of Jesus in your life because you spent time focusing on him. Now suddenly the load is out of your hands. You're not going, shine in the Jesus. You're not doing that anymore. You're getting it out of your hands into the yoke, and now Jesus is up there with you, right? So now when you're having your daughter or your son out on the street and they are out of control completely, and before you'd be warring and fighting and nothing's happening, now you run into that situation, you're carrying Jesus, and you go, okay, Jesus, we're here, get him! And then because Jesus is there, because you've learned how to carry more of him, he gets released, and guess what? He's the King of Kings, baby. And that demonic king that's on your son or daughter is going to have to bow the knee. He's going to have to bow the knee. Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. So how do we do it? How do we become more of the carriers of Christ's presence? Because you know, some people will say, well, I already know Jesus. I already have Jesus in my life. Well, you know what? If we all had as much Jesus as we needed to have, then y'all could leave the meeting right now. Because y'all would be well and healed, wouldn't you? And I'm talking to myself first. If I had as much Jesus as I needed, then there would already be signs, wonders, and miracles, and nobody here would be sick anymore right now. Do you hear me? We need more of Jesus. How do we do it? How do we become more of a carrier of Christ's presence? Well, when I got this revelation, what happened was this, is we first got the revelation about the demonic kings, what we taught you this morning. And you know, we started to see all this different fruit. You heard some testimonies this morning about the different fruit, but it wasn't enough. There was something wrong. I knew there should be more. There should be more signs. There should be more wonders. And I'm going, what's going on, God? You gave me this revelation. It seems like there's something holding it back. And the Lord came and he spanked me. Have you ever had the Lord spank you? It hurts, doesn't it? But it's for our good, isn't it? And he came and he said, you want to see more signs, wonders, and miracles? You want to see the fullness of this revelation really work? You want to see demonic kings fall and come off of people and for them to get healed and well? Then you need to be carrying more of my son. I was stung to the core. The next day, God always has a way, doesn't he? He says something and then he backs it up again through somebody else. I called my headship the next day. She got on the phone with me and she said, you know, and this is a very well-known person in the industry, very respected person. She got on the phone with me. She goes, you know, I totally believe in everything you're teaching. What you're teaching is just amazing, and I know it's from the Holy Spirit. But she goes, as your headship, I want to advise you to do one thing. I said, what? She said, stop teaching it and start talking about nothing but Jesus. Amen. I got stung again. God was right on the money. So right away, I wasted no time. I felt so convicted to have more of my Lord. I went and I put everyone on the ministry in a fast for 5 months. I called it the Jesus fast. My friend Wayne Watkins calls it the Jesus feast. I put everybody on the Jesus fast, meaning we fasted on everything but Jesus. We dropped everything else in our life but Jesus. Everywhere I went, I preached Jesus. We read all the gospel accounts about Jesus. We read all the prophecies concerning Jesus. We found music, worship music, that exalted and lifted up the name of Jesus. And we worshiped Jesus. And we prayed to Jesus. And we listened for Jesus. And we waited for Jesus. And we looked for Jesus. And we searched for Jesus. And we dug for Jesus. That's all we did for 5 months. And then I took it a step further. I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to customize my encounter with Jesus. Because how many of you know that there might be areas in your understanding that you have that are weak concerning Jesus? Like maybe you know him as your Savior, but maybe you don't really know him as your deliverer. Maybe you know him as your healer, but maybe you don't know him as Ancient of Days or King of Kings. Amen? That there will be areas in our understanding about our Lord that need to be strengthened. So I wanted to go right for the guts. I said, I want to go right for the weak points. I want my weak points to be exposed, Jesus. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, I want you to customize my seeking after you. So what I would do is every day, and you can take notes because you can do this because, I mean, just because I did it and it worked doesn't mean you don't have to, but it works, so I know. I would get up in the morning and I'd write down any dreams that I felt the Lord gave me or whatever, and then I would turn on some music that exalted Jesus, and I would spend time just worshiping him. Because how many of you know when you put your focus on something, that's what you're going to get? So before I would do any reading or anything else or any praying, I wanted to first open up a realm of Jesus's presence. You do that by worshiping him. So I would begin to worship him. And then when I felt the realm of his presence open up, then I would say, okay, Holy Spirit, now here I am. I'm asking you to customize my experience with Jesus. Tell me what I need to know about my Lord today. I remember the first time I did that, I got quiet, and in my mind, I heard like two or three scriptures, and I wrote them down really quick. And then afterwards, I went to them and I looked them up. Now, even though these scriptures were in totally different chapters of the Gospels, every one of them was about the exact same thing. That's the Holy Spirit, amen? They were all about the exact same thing. They were all stories about people who had gotten healed by Jesus. And in every case, afterwards, somebody was coming up to them and going like this, who is the name of the man that healed you? And the answer to that question was always the man named Jesus. And when I got that revelation, I went to these three chapters, and every chapter is about the same exact thing. When I got that revelation, it was so simple, but to me at that moment, it was so powerful. You know why? Because to me, it was confirming exactly what the Father had told me, exactly what headship had told me, exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, you are lacking Jesus, and you want more signs, you want more miracles, you want more wonders. So the answer to the question, who is the man that healed you, is always going to be the man named Jesus. It was so powerful, that simple revelation. It was so powerful. I wept, and I repented for half an hour for ignoring my Lord, for ignoring my Savior, to actually have the nerve to think that I could go out and wipe out all these demonic kings without having more of the King of Kings. That I could actually expect to have more signs, wonders, and miracles without having more of Jesus. And I wept, And I wept and I asked for forgiveness and I repented. And right in the middle of weeping and repenting, all of a sudden in my mind, a scripture just popped into my mind. And I heard in my mind, John 14:12. And I was like, what is that? And so I went to it and I turned it. And this is what it says. And it's Jesus speaking. He says, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do. And will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. And when that happened, in the middle of that, I knew there was Jesus again. There was Holy Spirit again. And they're saying, you are on the right track now, baby. You are on the right track now, baby. You know, you got all this fancy strategy and everything else, and all this amazing revelation and insight and real fresh cutting edge stuff. And everybody wants it and everybody wants to hear it. But guess what? It's all trash. It's all rubbish. And none of it's going to work unless you have more of Jesus. You know, that scripture actually says that greater things than these will we do. How could that possibly be? I'll tell you how. Because when you are carrying Jesus around on the sedan chair and you're running into the conference or the situation with your husband or your wife or your city meeting or in your church, you're not doing it. Jesus is. Did you hear me? That's how you do the greater things. You know what my challenges, you know, people, we've been blessed by having fresh cutting into revelation, and people are so excited about the stuff that the Holy Spirit's been giving us, and we've been honored to be carriers of that. And people are always saying, show us how to do this, show us how to do that, and this is all great. But honestly, at the end of the day, I want to be known as the woman who showed you how to find more of him, because he's the reason, he's the key. It's like, I know that if I'll stop and preach Jesus wherever I go, then the signs, the wonders, and miracles will show up. Amen? Amen. I remember right after that, I continued to press into Jesus. And like the next day or the next couple of days, I did it again. I began to worship the Lord and spend time focusing on Jesus. And then when the realm of his presence opened up, I said, Holy Spirit, okay, now tell me what I do now. What do I do next? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, well, now there's something inside you right now that I want to get rid of because it's in the way of Jesus coming in. He needs more room. So I said, okay, give me some scriptures. And I sat there quietly and I let the Holy Spirit speak to me. And again, I wrote these scriptures down. And again, I went to them. And again, even though they were in different chapters, they were totally about the same thing, how Jesus comes in and saves us and gets us cleaned up. Amen. So I remember I laid in my bed and I just began to decree those scriptures over myself. And I felt an encounter. I felt an encounter, the Holy Spirit coming. And I felt heat and burning and warmth in my chest. And I knew that it was working, that the decrees of these scriptures were working. I was getting cleaned up and I got excited. And I felt the warmth for like an hour flowing through my body and as I was being healed. And so I'm all done. And you know how we think we're all done? Yay.
Yeah, right.
So I go through my merry day and I come back at the end of the day and I'm going to bed and I'm laying in bed and I'm beginning to meditate more on Jesus, inviting him to come in. But I fell into this deep sleep. And as I did, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of me coming out of the bathroom. You know, whenever you have a vision of you coming out of the bathroom, it's good news because it means you're done doing all the stuff that happens in the bathroom. So I was like, oh yes, I'm coming out of the bathroom. Great. That must be about this morning. I got cleaned off. Hallelujah. I'm done with the poopy deal thing. All right. But oh, I wasn't even done. Hello. All of a sudden, I step out of the bathroom. I'm all happy for 1 second. And then I started in this vision. I started violently dry heaving. I mean, violently dry heaving. You know what happens when you dry heave, right? You're getting all the way down to where there's a big pile of nasty bile at the very bottom of your gut. And right then, I knew the Lord was saying, there's something in you right now that's so deep and so ugly, I've got to get it out so that I can come in. And I remember feeling very surreal as I was laying there on this bed, pinned to the bed, feeling very calm and at the same time watching this violent scene happen in front of me. And then suddenly an angel came in the room. I felt his presence. In the natural, I felt him embrace me. Because you know, the scripture says that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to us. And at that moment, I felt him embrace me, and I felt his literal hand put his hand on my forehead. And when he did that, the dry heaving stopped, and that thing that was so deep in me came out, and it was done right then. Hallelujah. What is my point in telling all of this? Number one is this. Man, how long do you think it would have took me to get rid of that on my own? I still have it. Hello. There's something that happens when you decide to pursue Jesus. And there's something happens that when you let Holy Spirit customize your way. You know, you could start at Matthew and start reading all the Gospels, and that's not going to hurt you. But man, isn't it so much better to let Jesus show you exactly the spots you need to attack? It's called precision strike. It's like having laser striking. There's your problem there. There's your problem there. Oh, that's good, huh? There's your problem there. Yeah, it was good for me. Is it good for you? You need to pursue Jesus, but you need to let him show you the way to go. You want supernatural encounters, right?
Yes.
Then let the supernatural guide lead you. I would have never had that encounter if I was just trying to guess at what I should do next. I'm going to read this next or that next. No, I let Holy Spirit show me what my problem was, and I got an accelerated healing of a deep issue inside my soul. I even had an angelic visitation come with it. Amen? You know what? You want to be supernatural? Then pursue Jesus, because he's going to supernaturally change you so that you can become a carrier of his presence and you can become a distributor of signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Amen. So after 3 months of fiercely pursuing Jesus, like every day, I remember one day I was worshiping and the Lord came and he spoke and he said this. He says, "You're becoming the whale." I said, "What?" He said, "You're becoming the whale." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" And all of a sudden he put in my mind the story of Jonah and the whale. Remember the story? The prophet Jonah was on assignment. He was running away from God. He got on a ship because he didn't want to do it. So the Lord sent a big storm and the ship was going to sink. And then he told the guys on the ship, "It's my fault. So you need to throw me over." So they did. And it says that in Jonah chapter 1 that the Lord had prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So see, Jonah's in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. Do you know what that story represents? It represents Christ being in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Listen to what Jesus says about this in Matthew 12. He says, he's responding to the Pharisees who are asking him to perform a sign and a wonder. It says this, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks and demands a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." See, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Jesus was in the belly of the earth. What does that mean? Both the whale and the tomb carried the presence of Christ. After 3 months of focusing on Jesus, God was calling me the whale. I like it. I knew that he was saying, "It's working. It's happening. You may not even recognize it, but as you have just chosen to activate your faith and your obedience to pursue my son, his presence is literally growing inside of you." What was birthed out of the tomb? Resurrection power of Jesus. What can resurrection power do? Anything. It can resurrect your marriage, your body, your mind, anything. When you start to carry that resurrection power inside of you of Jesus, it will be birthed to resurrect all the things in your life. Do you know that being the whale, the sign of Jonah, is directly connected to you being able to defeat demonic kings? How so? Because in Luke 11, when Jesus talks about the sign of Jonah, the first thing he was talking about before he brought that up was this. How can anybody enter the strong man's house and carry on his possessions unless he first binds the strong man? So he's saying, look, you guys want some victory here. You need to bind the strong man. Then you're going to thoroughly be able to plunder his house. And then the Pharisees rose up and they said, well, we demand a sign and a wonder to prove that what you're saying is true. And he says, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. What was he saying? You want to see demonic, you want to see the proof that if you bind demonic strongman that you can thoroughly ransack their straw, their house? I'm not going to give you a sign and wonder. The only sign you need is you need to become the whale. You need to become a carrier of me. And when you do, that is your sign and your wonder. Then you will see bound the strong man, and you will see their houses thoroughly plundered. That's the only sign you're going to get. The sign of me, Jesus. Yeah, amen. We need to get serious about Jesus, amen. We need to go back and revisit the main and the plain. You know what Christians are like? I'm sorry. I'm putting myself in this category too. I'm not just talking to. Okay, because I've done it myself. When the newest, shiniest, coolest revelation comes along, we're like that dog on that Disney movie. Squirrel. Squirrel. Hi, I'm a talking dog, and I just love you, and you're going to be my new master and squirrel. It's true, isn't it? We need to stay focused on Jesus, and then everything else will happen for us. Amen? I remember one of the most extraordinary encounters happened after the 5 months of the fasting was up. For years, Holy Spirit had been telling us promises. God had been giving us promises to this ministry. He was saying all these things. He's saying, you're going to become like the river. The river that's flowing. Remember in Ezekiel, it says that the river, wherever the river went, whoever came in contact with the river got healed, right? And he says, you're going to become like that living river. He said, you're going to become like the trees that are in heaven, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations, and there will be no more curse. He said, you're going to have healing being released through the ministry. There's going to be no more curse. You're going to have dominion over the curses on people's bodies, on their minds, on their finances. You're going to become like those trees. He said, you're also going to become like the trees that are in heaven that carry the fruit that harvests every month. It says that the fruit of the trees in heaven harvests every single month, right? And there's never a dry period. And it says that you're also going to become the light. You're going to know about the light. You're going to know about how the light heals people's bodies, how it heals their minds, how it heals their souls, how it makes a breakthrough. You're going to become carriers of the light. You're going to be able to do mass healings and meetings where you're just going to release the glory light of Jesus and people will be massively healed. You won't even have to lay hands on them. God was giving us all these promises. You're going to become the river. You're going to be the trees with the leaves for the healing of the nations. You're going to have endless provisions that never die out. You're going to be carrying the power of the glory light of Jesus in the ministry. And I tell you what, none of it was happening. The river was more like a creek. And it was blocked up somewhere upstream. And as far as the provisions happening every single month, man, there were months when it was not happening at all. Okay? Not happening at all. We were in debt. All kinds of crazy things were happening. We were trying to do this prison ministry. We didn't even have enough money to publish books. And as far as, we were very far from being the trees in heaven that produce fruit every month out of the year. And as far as the glory light of Jesus being released corporately into the meetings, I mean, we were believing for it. We were releasing it. We were practicing it. And somebody would come up with something like, I got a hangnail heel today. Praise God. And we're like, yes, a hangnail, yes. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, where's the fruit, Jesus? You said we'd have all these things. Where's the leaves? Where's the healing of the nations? Where's all that stuff? So we had, here and now, we're doing the Jesus fast. We're in month 5 of it. And I remember I'm in my bedroom one day, and I got the worship music on, and I'm praising Jesus. And my dog comes in the room. And man, the dog was like out supernaturaling me. How many of you know that your pets are probably more supernatural than we are sometimes? So the dog comes in the room and the dog is going, rah, 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 and it sees something and it's looking around and it's barking. Rah, rah. And I'm like, what are you looking at? What's going on? And I'm looking at the dog and I'm looking around and all of a sudden the Lord lets me see it. A realm had opened up in the room. Yeah, I saw it after the dog. Yeah, showed you how supernatural I am. I'll just bring the dog up to teach the next session. So this realm had opened up in the room, and these seven angels had flown into the room, and they were flying around and around and around the room. They were perfectly white, and they were exquisite. And I'm looking at this going, holy cow, this is totally amazing. And then in the middle of this amazing encounter, all of a sudden, I felt another presence come in the room. How many of you know that everything has a different presence to it? Like Father God has his own unique presence. You know, Holy Spirit has his own presence. Jesus has his own presence. But they all have the same qualities too because they're all one. Amen? But I felt this presence walk in the room. And you know what? I knew who it was. It was Jesus. I knew who it was because I had spent 5 months every single day looking for him 24/7. So I recognized him. I didn't see him. I just knew it was him. And I remember I took my eyes instantly off those beautiful angels and I went right onto Jesus. And because I did that, because I turned my worship and my attention totally towards him, his presence just exploded into the room. And I remember because it grew so big, it saturated into me. And I remember, and I'm not exaggerating, for 1 hour, I was in my room doing this, Jesus, for 1 hour. At the end of it, I'm just like wrecked. And I went, what was that? And I remember the Lord said, it was Revelation 22:6. So I grabbed my Bible and I went and I turned to it and it said this, listen. And he of the seven angels said to me, these statements are reliable and worthy of confidence and genuine and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirit of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servant what must soon come to pass. Seven messenger angels came in my room that day, but not just any angels, okay? These were Jesus' own personal messenger angels. How do I know? Because I kept on reading. I kept on reading down the scripture, and it says this in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger angel to you to witness to you of these things. Jesus had sent his own personal messenger angels to tell me what must soon come to pass for this ministry. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And I thought, well, maybe I should read the beginning of the chapter. So I went back and I started reading at verse 1, and this is what it said. Listen. And the angel showed me the river of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne room of God. There was the river that God had been promising us. And down the middle of the streets of the great city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, and there will be no more curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They will have no need for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. There was every promise that God had been promising us, that we would become the river, that we would have the leaves for the healing of the nations, that we would have the light, that there would be no more curse, that we'd have the provisions. And you know what? It all started happening. It all started happening. The creek stopped being dry and drippy. And it began to flow like the river. And now everywhere we go, there's signs, wonders, and miracles flowing on a regular basis. Not a little miracle here, a little hangnail there, and a little this there. There's miracles that are coming, signs and wonders as people step into the river. And we have become now like the trees that yield their fruit every month. We went from making $1,000 a month to over 100 times that amount, practically overnight a month. Amen. We are now like those trees producing fruit nonstop. There's no waiting in between the harvest. The fruit just keeps on coming and coming and coming. And it's been enabling us to do the mission that we're called to do. Because, you know, here I am doing this, but you know what my first call is, don't you? My peace in prison. Amen. And now we're able to do what we've been called to do to help them, because we have become like the trees that are in heaven. And it says that there shall be no more curse. We've had more dominion over curses than we ever had before. People that have been cursed in their mind and their money and their businesses and their ministries have reported to us that their curses are getting broken off, that they're getting $30,000 miracles, that their ministries are being restored, that people are getting healed in their bodies. We get emails every day. We get phone calls. We get testimonies every day. And as far as the light goes, now we are able to go in and corporately release the glory light of Jesus onto people's souls and have them healed. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight in the meeting tonight. And we've seen more signs, wonders, and miracles because we are becoming carriers of Jesus Christ. And I tell you exactly why all those things are happening. You've got to listen to me. You know, this is my most unfanciest message. Everybody else, get to the good strategy stuff. Get to that supernatural, really cool stuff that you've been birthing. I will, after I do this. Because this is my most unfancy message, but it's my most important message. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see fruit that's been produced in this ministry. When stuff starts breaking out and you start getting miracles and healings and breakthroughs and victories in your body, and it's coming because we chose to drop everything to focus on Jesus. Everything I'm going to teach you, what I taught you this morning, what I'm going to teach you tonight, what you're going to learn tomorrow, it's all rubbish without Him. It's all rubbish. It will never work without Him. It won't work with... Did you hear me? I said it won't work without Him. 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 You've got to have more of Him. I want to convict you tonight. I want you to become sober in your understanding. Everything you're trying is going to be worthless if you're not trying to do it without Jesus. He's got to be the center focus. He's got to be the key. You've got to press in for more of Him. The reason why we're getting over 100 times the amount of provision every month than we were just a few months prior is because of Him. Amen? I want to ask everyone. Honestly, if you don't decide you are going to spend some elongated time chasing after Jesus, you might as well leave now. Because everything I'm going to teach you won't work without Him. I can tell you the one thing for you to do that will work is to seek Him, more of Him, more of Him. Can I have the worship team up? Okay, thank you. I want to invite everyone to do what we did. Do a 5-month Jesus fast. Don't go out and start killing kings, because you'll get killed. Spend 5 months focusing on Jesus to bring Him into your life in a whole new level. Why 5 months? You know, that's the number the Lord gave me. But I actually had some biblical proof come when a friend of mine in Virginia got a revelation. She happened to be pregnant at the time when she got this revelation. Remember the story about Elizabeth? She was pregnant with John the Baptist and in seclusion for 5 months when Mary walked in with the baby Jesus, right? And the baby inside of Elizabeth jumped, because after 5 months of Jesus being incubated in Mary, the other baby was able to discern the presence of Jesus. Oh, there's Jesus. You see that? You need at least 5 months incubation time. And then people around you are going to start recognizing Jesus coming out of you and being birthed in you. Amen? And you need to do it. Try to do it like I did. Honestly, I'm not trying to say I'm right, but if it works, it works. Let Holy Spirit guide your encounter. You know, in the old days, when the sedan chairs were carried at night and it was dark, they were accompanied by men called the Link Boys. The Link Boys would hold these torches, And they would know where the address was, where the royalty was going to be dropped off. And they would run ahead of the sedan chair with the torches to the address, showing them the way to go to deliver the royalty to the right place. If you let Holy Spirit be your link boy and guide you on a 5-month journey to more of Jesus, you're going to get to the right address. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we all said, time out, we're going to do 5 months of Jesus? And he said, well, this morning you said, do the 40-day fast and do this and that. And I said, well, you can still do it, because when you're doing the 5-month Jesus fast, you can do everything Jesus did. Right? So what a great time for you to combine everything you're learning. Do a 5-month Jesus fast. Let the link boy, the Holy Spirit, lead your way. Do the 40-day fast in the desert during that time, because that's what Jesus did. Amen? Tonight you're going to learn how to soak your soul in the glory light of Jesus. You could spend 5 months fiercely pursuing healing of your soul, because once again, it's all about Jesus. You're going to learn how to do that tonight. You can combine all these things, and you could have the most power-packed, amazing, victorious breakthrough 5 months of your life, because it's all about Jesus. I want us to commit. Like I said, if I can be known for anything at the end of the day, I want to be known as a woman who drove people towards more of Jesus. Let's sit here and bow our heads right now. Jesus, come right now with your spirit. Fill this place. With your presence, we asked that you would give these people the desire to seek you more than they ever have, to understand how to do it, to want to be in your presence more than they ever have. And that you would honor them by coming and filling them, impregnating them with you, and having you grow and develop and increase and overtake and possess them and guide them and lead them and uphold them and fill them. They would understand you more than they ever have before. And that you would come and make a difference in their life. And that every name that is your name would be birthed in them. That you would become King of Kings to them, the name above every name, the Ancient of Days, the Day Star, the bright and morning star, the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of Him, the radiance of God's glory, Emmanuel, God is with us, wonderful, the vine, the chief cornerstone, the stone that was rejected, the crucified Savior, our Redeemer and our redemption, our healer, our deliverer, the gift, the spring of living water, the fountain of life, our song, our praise, that you would become our joy, our peace, the King of glory, Master, that you would come all those things to us, and that we would commit to seeking you, because nothing else is going to work without more of you. I release your dominion in this place and in these people's hearts. I decree supernatural visitations of your presence. That as they seek you, that they will find you. And that they will find you and be filled with you in more ways than they ever known possible. That they will understand you and have a deep revelation of the mysteries of you. That their eyes of their heart would be flooded with light to know the secrets and the mysteries and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. To know the hope to which they've been called to in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm the whale. I'm the whale. I just impregnate you right now with the seed of Jesus right now. Pull on him with your desire right now. Pull on him with your desire. Pull on him. Pull on him. Pull on him. Tell him how much you want him. Tell him how much you need him. Tell him, you don't even get it right now. Say, I don't even get it, Lord, but I want to get it. I want to know how much you're the key. I want to know how much you're the key. I want to understand why I need you more. I want to have a new spark in my spirit, a new spark in my soul to pursue you. More of you. More of you. More than ever before. I want to honor you, Jesus. Everybody, repent for not honoring him enough. Just repent for not even honoring him enough. Ask him to wash you of that. We've been ignoring our Savior for too long. He needs to become utmost and highest. We need to lift his name even higher, higher than we ever have before. We want signs. We want wonders and miracles. He is the sign. He is the wonder. He is the miracle. He's what we need. He's what we've been searching for. Nothing is more important than him. Nothing is more important than him.